If you have your Bible or would use the Pew Bible afforded you, we are today in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. If you brought yours well and good, you may have a Bible in front of you, pew in front of you. You may, if you're on the very front, it should be underneath the pew in a rack there. Sermon is entitled today, The Prayer of Faith. Prayer of Faith. We're in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. And I didn't go back and look this week, guys, but I remember some months ago we started at James 1, verse 1, and went forward. And we are coming very near to the end of our punctuated sermon series through the letter of James. We have this week, and we have one more, God willing, which I think will come next week. And then we trust the Holy Spirit will lead, and we'll do something else. But today, we're looking at prayer, and in particular, we're looking at the prayer of faith as the Lord through James calls us to pray in certain situations. So here is God's Word for us. It is inscripturated, inspired. It is inerrant. Makes no mistake. It is infallible. It's foolproof and fail-proof. Hear the Word of God beginning at James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Anyone among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands. Let's pray. Father, we come, or at least I do, to a scary time in the hour we are together. At the time where we come to deliver your word, it's glorious, but the responsibility is weighty at the same time. So I pray that you will send in the words to be uttered in this place, those and none other. Pray that you will open our ears that we may hear, open our eyes that we may see. With all we are and all we have, help us to embrace you as we hear from you again in this, your very word. We ask, O Lord, in Jesus' name these things. Amen. James tells us, really the Lord through James, tells us sometimes when we are to pray. And these may appear obvious to you, but sometimes there are things that are so obvious to me I need somebody to point them out because I won't see them. Here's one of them. When to pray? When suffering. Now sometimes we're tempted, oh, I got my little ache and pain, or oh, I got my little difficulty. But that's not really suffering. I know people who are suffering. And you may be right. But don't minimize your own, okay? If you're hurting, okay, you're hurting. Sometimes we say we need to pray. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It may be you hurting in some way today, whether with physical pain, or whether through hardship in some way, or whether through distress in some way. Sometimes we hurt. I've heard it said all great men walk like with a limp, based on biblical Jacob after he wrestled with God at Peniel in the Old Testament. He forever after walked with a limp because he was touched in the tendon in the hip. I don't think we were told in Scripture which hip, but we know at least one of them. And so he walked with a limp. And sometimes if we've got enough mileage on us, we walk with a limp too. When suffering, we are told here, let him pray, or her pray. Here's another time to pray. When cheerful. If the danger when suffering is to bemoan and not trust in God, the danger when cheerful and everything's going well is to forget about God. We are told about this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. When Moses tells the children of God in his final big sermon, we call it Deuteronomy. He says, look, take care not to forget the Lord your God. Lest, after you have eaten and are satisfied and have built your houses and everything's going well, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. He says some other stuff, then he goes on to say, you may say that that my wealth and the strength of my hands have gotten me all these things. But he says, but remember, it is the Lord your God who gives you the ability to produce wealth as it is at this day. So the temptation will be to forget him. So in place of that, when it's going well, when you and I are cheerful, when we're out there enjoying that beautiful 53-degree afternoon today, we are told, let him sing psalms. Let him sing. Now, I'm glad that there's a lot of Nantahala Forest out there. Because sometimes it is good that I might want to sing praise to God. But nobody else wants to hear that. And nobody else may need to hear that. And there are other places where your own prayer closet or your war room, whatever you call it. I'll say it, Lord. Your shower. Any place else where you are well away from others, sing songs of praise. Or maybe your singing will edify somebody else. But that is another form of expression to God. When it's going well, sing out to him. That's how I sing. I play that thing. However you do, sing to his praise. And there's another time told here. We've got when suffering, we've got when cheerful, when sick. And God has a lot to say here through James. If you're sick, and I have the impression that if we're going to go to all this trouble, it might be a pretty serious sick. If we're going to call for the elders of the Lord and we're going to go through all that anointing, that's good. But I will surrender. We had one of those here in this place a few months ago when one of ours just rose in service and said, I'd like to be anointed with oil and prayed for. And we did. Far as I know, trouble has not come back since. Our God still heals, okay? It's not like he said, okay, I'm going to heal till about AD 70 or so, and then I'm going to turn it over to the MDs, to the doctors. Well, God has given us great medicinal and surgical things, okay? But if you believe in God for healing, I'd still have your doctor check it out. After all, at least around here, the Lord's leading many of them too. But when sick, when you need to, when you feel an extra measure of faith for healing, call on the elders of the church. You can look at that in two senses. You can look at it formally. Our leadership here are called elders. The pastor is called a teaching elder in the Presbyterian church. He or she is assisted by ruling elders. And so you can look at that in a formal basis. And we do that around here. Or you can look at it more informally. Your veteran, godly folk in Christ can do that, I believe, as well. But receiving that anointing with oil. Now, I know about essential oils, okay, and I know about the claims, and some of that's good stuff. If you've ever had the sinus trouble, and I know nobody here ever did, so I'll just go and tell you about it. If you get that stuff in the right place, not too strong, it's wonderful to help you feel open in there, okay? And there are other oils that do good for certain things. Tea tree oil does good for certain things. Now, remember, I am your doctor, but I'm not your MD, your medical doctor. I'm your D-men. Okay? So I'm not licensed practice medicine. I just know that if you get a good dose of peppermint or menthol right there, it will help. But here's what I'm talking about with this. The healing property is not so much in the oil itself. It's that God, for some reason, is pleased to work directly through that by His Spirit to effect the healing. I can't demand healing. My name is Tommy. It is not God. But I can ask for it. And I tell you what, when we ask for it, we get many times far above what we ask or even imagine. Remember, Jesus himself prophesied 700 years before his existence by Isaiah. It said that he bore our diseases and carried our infirmities. He did. He knew what it was in this life to be a man. And he knew what it was to suffer hunger and thirst and heat and pain. And I imagine he knew what it was to be sick. He tasted the total human experience, fully identifying with us to the uttermost. And there's something else going on here. And if he has sins, he'll be forgiven, therefore confess and such. I don't think this is the blanket confession that some traditions would say go to the priest and make. I think this is about personal offenses. That if the sick has offended, Let's get the wounded party in. Let's see if we can get that reconciled where it needs to happen. Okay? But yeah, it's a good time to confess generally. But you are not required for your salvation to tell all your dirty laundry to me. You tell it to the Lord on high, and He can handle it. But if there are things, if there's forgiveness that needs to be extended and received from parties, that needs to happen, that we may be healed and holistically at that. Yeah, there are times I want to be healed of various things that have plagued my body. And some of us have been plagued with serious stuff, and we want to be healed of that. But we don't want to be healed just physically. We want to be healed mentally in our minds. We want to be healed emotionally. And chiefly, we want to be healed spiritually. We want to be in a right place with Jesus Christ. So when sick, by all means, pray. Now, sickness, as you know, is the result of the fall in this world. Not every time I'm sick is a direct result of my sin. It's a result of living in a fallen world and living with these little germs that somehow find their way to my eyes, nose, mouth, and ears and get in there and find fertile ground. It's just the result of living in a fallen world. But sometimes God does visit us with a little discomfort to get our attention. So we've learned about when to pray. Sounds like most any time, but we've got some special examples here. Now we want to talk about how to pray. How to pray. Well, do it first in faith. Have you ever done something because you knew you were supposed to do it and didn't believe really much in the power to do it? Maybe you wanted to ask your dad for the car keys. You know, I know that he's not going to give them to me because I want to go out and do something he would disapprove. But I think I'll just go through the motion anyway. You never know. There's not a whole lot of faith in that, is there? We have a Heavenly Father that knows what is great for us, and we are to pray in faith, believing, not doubting. We were told in James chapter 1 that if we want wisdom, we are to ask it of God, not doubting, because the doubter is a double-minded man, and the double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. He is unstable in all his ways. And so, when we ask, let's ask in faith. And if we're short of faith, you can ask a lot like the father of the demon-possessed boy did in Mark 9. You remember what he said when Jesus told him, all things are possible to him who believe. And the man said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. There are times that we feel that way, and you can cry out like that. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I can't manufacture faith. He's got to give it to me. If I read Ephesians 2 correctly, that faith itself is a very gift from God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're to pray with faith, and we're to pray with fervency. Now, there have been times where folk have needed something in life. I remember, oh mercy, it's beyond 15 years ago in my ministry, a man had an aortic aneurysm rupture, that big artery that goes down to the body and down into the legs. He had a rupture. He was on the way to the operating room, and it didn't look good, that first report from the operating room. So his dear sweet wife, with to all the assembled family, said, Tommy, pray. That's what she said, but this was a praying woman. When she asked me to get after it, I got after it. And not because she said so. 6 hours passed. And family was together and worried. But something happened in the operating room. And that guy recovered and he lived on for many, many years. And he never was plagued by that particular trouble ever, ever again. Now suppose, I mean, God can do anything. But would he have been pleased with coming and saying something like, sir, you see this guy over here. I don't know if you want to do anything for him today or not. But, you know, he's got this little trouble in that big vessel. You know, that's kind of insipid. It's half-hearted. Any of y'all like cold leftovers? I didn't think so. No cold leftovers. You got to have that heated up. And so the idea is we are to ask God for the fervency to bring it to Him. We are told here about Elijah praying. We'll come to the example in a minute. We are told that he prayed fervently in the ESV, woodenly from the Greek, my translation this week. He prayed a prayer, but it's an emphatic construction. He got after it, would be a very loose construction, but pretty close. He got after it in prayer. What does that look like? I take you to Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer, not in Matthew where we normally get it, but in Luke. And we see the matter of prayer in verses 2 through 4, what we're supposed to ask for. We did it here today with one voice. But then Jesus goes on to tell a story. A man has a visitor, a friend, come to him at midnight. asking for 3 loaves of bread because company has come before him. Now, you know what we would do. We would go to the all-night place. Not even Ingles is open at midnight. So we'll go to Walmart and we'll get our bread because they're open all night. Back then, they did not have that. What they had were neighbors. And you must understand, very important social function. When people came to your house, you got to supply for them. And if you don't supply for them, that's bad news. People will talk about you if you don't supply. So here he comes at midnight, and he's in danger of being talked about and thought less of in his town. So he bangs on the door, I need some bread. And what's the guy inside? His friend, some friend. The children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Yeah, that'd probably be enough for me. Thank you, brother. And I'd be preparing for my dressing down in polite society. But that's not what happens. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. He just keeps coming. And finally, not because of the rightness of his cause, but just to make him go away, he gets up and gives him all he needs. See you in the morning. Yeah, hope not. Or whatever. But he gets what he needs. This is how we come in prayer. We are told to ask. We are told to seek. We are told to knock. Those are present tense Greek verbs. They imply continuous action. Asking, keep on asking. Seeking, keep on seeking. Knocking, keep on knocking. Ask until you're hoarse. And seek until your eyes are strained. And knock until the knuckles are bruised and blooded. This is asking, seeking, knocking according to the Scriptures. And this is fervent prayer. And here's our confidence as we come. God will cause it to avail much. You see, the prayer of the righteous man or person has great powers that is working. The Greek is in the masculine. It can apply to either a man or a woman under the context. But I looked in the mirror this morning, and what I did not see was a person innately righteous in and of himself. I know what the Bible says in Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one, in and of himself. But I do know this, that I am clothed in Christ's righteousness. And if you be in Him, you are too. And so when we come to the throne, He does not see the rags we brought in. He sees His own Son's clothing. He sees His own Son's mantle. His own Son is the advocate at the right hand of the Father. That is what gets it done. And He will cause our prayers to avail much as He defines much. Sometimes we pray and we think we're going to get much. It didn't appear to be much. Or it's not coming very soon. Wait for it. It's coming. Wait for it. Far above what we ask or even imagine. Now comes the example, Elijah the Tishbite. You pick up his story in 1 Kings chapter 17 in the Old Testament. The account they're referring to here is at the end of 1 Kings chapter 18, where there was judgment coming on the land of God and upon His Old Testament church because they weren't walking with Him. They were walking with these no-count so-called gods, these idols, and forsaking the true, the living, the only God. So what does God do? He moves Elijah to pray. And all of a sudden, there's no rain. There's no rain. Everything parches and burns up and food starts running out. And so he's lodging with a widow of Zarephath, north of the Holy Land. And they got enough meal in the jar for one day, every day. They exhaust it, and somehow, miraculously, it's back the next morning. For over 3 years, this happens until such time as he moves Elijah to pray again. And when he does, this is after the famous contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, where 850 of them have been slaughtered. He tells to his servant, go and look toward the sea. 7 times he looks, 6 times he doesn't see anything. 7th time he says, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, let's get running. And all of a sudden it's pouring down rain. And it came. You see, Elijah, we're told here, is a man just like us. We tend to make Elijah some sort of superhero. Well, if to any degree he is, he was made that way, but he's a man just like us, and he had weaknesses. Right after all this, Queen Jezebel sent him a message saying, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like that of one of them. Translation, you are a dead man. So what do we read? We do not read that Elijah rises up with this thunderous oration. Oh, wicked Jezebel. And she falls over. Ah! We do not read that. What do we read? We read that Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. What? The man of God is afraid and ran for his life. Well, God ministered to him after 40 days of running and a little bit of rest and a little bit of food out there. But you see, he was a man just like us. And God moved mightily on his prayer. And by his grace, he'll move on ours as well. So, I've got the runway in sight. We're starting to bring it on home. I'm going to get one more little shot of sweet green tea. And we're going to come to the house. Here's the question. What would you like today from the good hand of Almighty God? Think about that a minute. What good thing do you want from God's good hand that no one else and no other source can supply? For what good thing have you longed, yea, for this long time, yet still do not have? You got that thing in mind now? Okay. Here's what we do. Here's the action step. Pray to God in Jesus' name, in the Holy Spirit's insight and strength, one, for increased faith. The apostles cried out to the Lord in Luke 17, verse 5, increase our faith. It was about forgiving people over and over and over again. Increase our faith. And Jesus goes on to say, if you have faith, even as a grain of mustard seed, you may say to that mountain, be ye cast into the sea, and it will be so. And some of us have seen mountains go bloop, bloop, bloop into the water. We sure have. May we again pray to God in Jesus' name, in the Spirit's presence and power, for increased faith. Second, pray for increased fervor. There are times I come to Him and I'm just dragging it. As I've said around here before, I'm not so sure I believe in Neanderthal man, and I'm not so sure he believes in me either. But you know how he's drawn in the books. His knuckles are dragging the ground. And there are times I feel that way when I come to Him. He can. We are told in Isaiah 40 and 29 that He increases the power of the faint or weary. And to him who has no might, He increases strength. We also read in Scripture that the Lord will have compassion on His servants when He sees that their strength is gone. And so we can pray asking Him for increased fervor, increased divine holy energy, yea, unction before the Lord. We also pray, third, to pray according to His will. And that requires the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And there's a promise attached when we pray according to His will. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in approaching Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, no matter what we have asked, we know we have the thing that we have asked of Him. Boy, that's pretty good news. Now, some of us in the Presbyterian Church are a little quick to give up a thing and say, thy will be done. We need to be like the guy, the midnight visitor, banging down the door. Now, our God's a sovereign. Sometimes He says, I got a better plan in mind. But we need to be banging it down and seeking His will. And we need to do this at all times, in all conditions. You remember that short little verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, pray without ceasing. This is the spirit of it, at all times, in all conditions. When I feel like praying and when I don't. You can't tell at too many church suppers now, too much mileage on the chassis, but I was once a varsity distance runner. And I figured out how to be a successful distance runner. Run when the conditions are favorable, run when they're not. Run when you feel like it, run when you don't. That's how you get there. Maybe the same could be applied to prayer. Pray when the conditions are favorable. Pray when they aren't. Pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't. Above all this, pray that God may be glorified. Now imagine, I'm a father. Funny, my children, our children are our size. How that little boy got to 6'3" is beyond me. We just fed and watered and sent to bed. How that sweet girl got to the size of her mama, not exactly sure. But sometimes, we get a request at home that we knew was not in their best interest. Did we give them that simply because they asked it? No. We were wiser than they, and we gave them what we thought best. Now, your Heavenly Father is infinitely wise, and sometimes we ask on the money. And sometimes, being human, we ask amiss. But here's the thing. He is infinitely wise, and He will rule and He will overrule for our good. I hope this emboldens your prayers. I hope this raises your faith in Him and in His power and His efficacy in prayer. Because I know we need stuff. Later on, I pray that we can have a small subset of our elders available for anybody who will desire prayer. And yes, we have oil in the pulpit. And I know at least one of us who is carrying oil around all the time. So, we can get after it in accord with this if that's something you want or need here in just a few minutes. But this is the prayer of faith. I hope to be praying this way. I hope you will be too. And if we are together, who can foresee the result? But I look forward to it. Let's pray.